Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Hey, everybody. My name is Caleb Stober. For those of you who don't know me, I was a undergrad in intercultural studies here at CIU and graduated last year working on my master's in global migration studies this year, and actually hope to go overseas to Japan in the near future. We'll be talking to actually one of my old friends, David Thorson, who was a roommate of mine several years ago here at CIU.
Now, my name is Dave Cashin. I'm a professor of intercultural studies here at CIU, and welcome to the intercultural studies job fair. That's what we're up to. So walk around and check some things out while you're here. Well, I want to introduce our two guests. We have David and Caroline Thorson. David is a good buddy of mine. We can talk in the same language. Snakalita dosh, norsk, ni, kanse? Okay, anyway. We're good buddies going way back, and I wanted to start out by just asking David this question, then we're going to introduce Caroline a little bit and ask her a few things. Tell us about your journey of coming from Norway to CIU, and now to Japan, serving there as a missionary.
Yeah, hello everyone. I'm on, right?
Yep, we can hear you. Yeah,
I just see you guys, so. it's kind of a complicated story, so I'll just make it short. So we can talk about other things too. But when I was in high school, I wanted to really get a kind of a fun, comfortable job that paid okay. And that was kind of my goal, to find a comfortable job. I didn't have to stress too much and just have fun. But then while in high school, I realized that there's so many people around the world that never heard the gospel. Like, they might have heard of Jesus, but they don't really know what, or Christianity, but they don't know what it is actually about. Just like a lot of people have heard about Buddhism or Hinduism, but they have no idea what it's actually about. So I really wanted to, like, I felt like God was telling me, like, when there's so many people around the world, I should get, like, I didn't feel like, for me, I couldn't have a normal job. Like, I wanted to work something in full-time ministry, but I didn't know what that would be, but probably missions. And while I was in high school, actually, we watched this movie. It was set in Japan called Lost in Translation. And it was just crazy, like all the lights, big city, Tokyo, and just craziness. And I told myself and God after watching that movie that if there's one country I don't want to live in, it's Japan. You can send me anywhere in the world, but not Japan. But then I went to a Torchbearers Bible School in Texas after high school, where a lot of the teachers were CIU graduates. So that's where I got introduced to CIU. And I decided I wanted to go there to study more about how to become a missionary. But I realized too late into the year, it was too late for me as international students to start the application process at that point, so I needed to find something else to do in the year in the meantime. So I heard about this internship with a Norwegian missionary organization and just to help missionaries for a year. And I applied, and they had many countries, and then suddenly they wanted me to go to Japan. And I thought, okay, I can survive 1 year. Probably will never go back, but at least I'll get something to do and I'll see what being a missionary is kind of like. So I went and realized that it's not at all like I imagined. There's normal people in Japan. They're not all like weird and crazy like I saw in the movies. Like, it's actually a lot of really great, nice people. And I thought all of Japan was just a big city. There's no nature, but there's a lot of beautiful nature. Yeah, and after that, I went to CIU to get my, learn about the Bible more so I can actually teach it with confidence and how to do missions. And also while at CIU, I met a Japanese couple called Aki and Ann Nakamura, who lives in Colombia, and they really got me connected with their ministry, reaching out to Japanese exchange students in Colombia. So that was also something we did there.
So exciting. That's great. Well, Caroline, tell us a little bit about how you came to Japan and how did you two meet?
Yes, sir. I actually grew up in Australia, but my mom is Japanese and my dad is Australian. And I ended up volunteering with Youth with a Mission. And I was in Australia for a bit to do that. And then they were forming a team to go to Japan. And so at the time, with a lot of confirmation, I felt God calling me to Japan. And then, I went in 2018 to live with this team. And then David and I, we met at an international church in the same area and then got to know each other through that. So, yeah.
And you got married under the auspices of COVID, I've heard.
Yes, we had the COVID couple.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, David, I and we would like to hear a little bit about what you've learned so far over being over in Japan, about the culture, the religion, as well as your experience in learning the language.
Yeah. So language is one of the most difficult things. Like, it's really hard. Like, we have my organization, we have missionaries in a lot of countries. And for example, the ones going to Indonesia, they get half a year of language studies before they start working. In Japan, we get 2 years. That just shows like how much more difficult that language is compared to other languages. So I've done 2 years now and I can communicate the things kind of I want to, but it's really still really hard to understand when people answer because they use so much vocabulary. I don't know. There's different levels of politeness and stuff. So that's pretty hard, but I'm slowly getting there a little bit. And religion in Japan is really interesting because most people wouldn't say they're religious. If they ask them, are you religious? They would say no. But then they're actually really, if you ask them if they do different religious things that Japanese do, they would probably say yes. So they do a lot of religious things, but they might not associate with the specific denomination or religion like we do in the West. But they're definitely kind of religious. Often also family is very important here, but not always for everyone. Some people don't have any contact with their family, so it's really depends. But one of the biggest struggles for us as missionaries is how big part school and work is of their part of their culture. So like even high schoolers, like they have to do stuff on the weekends. They have to go to these clubs, which is usually like science club or English club on their free time. So it's just, there's almost no time for church or ministry or any place where you can actually get them to come. So, and it's not because they don't want to, it's because they have to. And also work is really tough. And like there's a pressure for businessmen to go out and drink and eat with their colleagues after work and don't come back until really late. So it's really hard to find time for reaching people here because they don't have much time. Yeah.
So that leads into our next question then. What has your ministry looked like? I know you've been doing a lot of language learning initially, but what has it begun to look like for you guys faced with kind of those challenges?
So yeah, I just started working with the church here in this area about a month ago. But we recently moved here and started working. And my main job now is just to getting to know the church, like what do they do, joining all the activities and stuff like that. Eventually we hope to work trying to reach young adults in the area. I guess there's no university in our city, but there's a lot of young adults, young workers. So we really want to try to reach them in some kind of way. And also we try to serve some of the young leaders in church now that are young adults that are leading other things and trying to do things that have them over at our house and make food for them and just make them, because they're just giving, 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 but there's nothing for them to receive. So we're trying to serve them too, because they're really the ones who can make a difference there, being fluent in the language and everything. They have a lot of kids in high school programs in church, so I kind of joined them, but I'm not running it. Like, the locals are running it. I'm just kind of there to observe and help and build relationships with the young people. And also we have this thing called Bible Club, which is in the neighboring city. We're doing working with the American couple and another missionary. We're doing English Bible study for students. So, a lot of university students go there, and most of the people coming are not Christian. So it's really exciting to do that.
Okay, that's you know, you mentioned to me that you are the only missionaries in a prefecture with about 1 million people.
So currently...
You're definitely one in a million from that point of view.
Yeah, currently it's just us two and one other Norwegian missionary, but she will leave in December. So from December on, we're the only known missionaries in this region called the Sanin region, which you saw in the video.
Okay. Well, that leads me to a couple of questions that kind of go together. First of all, how did CIU train you? Did you get some good training? And what sort of training was good? And also, did we miss anything? Were there some things that you got out there and said, boy, I sure wish I'd gotten something about that at CIU? Comment on that if you would.
Of course, there is both. So I think I really appreciate a lot of what I learned about respecting different cultures. And like learning not to bring our own culture or our own problems to another culture where it's not really an issue or really something they care about. And also like remember why I'm here, because sometimes you can get really sucked up in what is happening in media in my country when it's not even an issue here or they don't care about it, to actually care what they care about and things like that. And I remember we had learned about that in classes and books we were reading, so I really appreciate that. Also really appreciate what I learned about theology, and especially Dr. Crutchfield's hermeneutics class really helped me. Now I feel like more confidence when I can teach from the Bible and stuff, how to actually study on my own. We have to make a lot of the resources ourselves because of languages, things like that, so that's really been really good. But one thing I wish we could have learned more or learned about that I didn't really feel like was touched on was how to work with already planted and planted church organizations that have been there for decades. Like, because we learned a lot about how to do pioneering work, how to start a new church movement, or how should things look ideally. But how do you work with organizations or churches that has been here for so long, and if you see there's things that might not be good, how do you approach that in a respectful way, but also in a way that's maybe like trying to implement the things that we were learning at CIU of how we should do missions when they're not doing those things necessarily, or how to work with established organizations more.
Yeah, we have to realize that they're unreached people group, Japan, yet at the same time, there are churches there. So how do we relate to them? That's an excellent question, something for us to think about as faculty in that area. What are some of the ways you're seeing God work in Japan? We know in some parts of the world, there are people having visions of Jesus and trying to get along, come alongside people like that. What kind of experiences like that are you seeing in Japan?
Yeah, so in Japan is a country where you don't really hear about much and you don't see as much as maybe other countries, but we have seen things lately. Like just in the last half a year, I've met at least two guys that seemingly random way almost have suddenly felt like they needed to start reading the Bible. One I talked with, he was backpacking in India. He didn't know any Christians, Japanese guy, and then while he's in India, he just feels like he should start reading the Bible, and he starts reading the Bible, and eventually he becomes Christian through that, and then he starts finding a church in Japan. And then another guy that we met a couple of weeks ago, he had his Buddhist father had given him a Bible 2 years ago, and this guy had been reading the Bible for 2 years. And just a couple of weeks ago, he suddenly met someone randomly through school, a teacher, the English teacher that was Christian. And that was the first Christian, as from what we know, that he kind of got in contact with. And he's really interested in Christianity, and he's been reading the Bible for 2 years. So it's really interesting to see like how these guys, especially guys, which is really interesting because the church is really over, like there's so many women in church, but there's very few men in the church here, which is a problem many places I've heard, but especially here in Japan. So it's really been interesting to see this, and we have been meeting other guys too that have really interesting testimonies. So God is definitely doing something here. But there's not enough workers really, like to, and Christians to really, if there was an awakening, it would be really hard because there's not enough people to take care of an awakening because there's not enough Christians. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess the follow-up to that, and it sounds like you've already kind of asked the question in a statement there, but like, why should those listening and watching right now, why should CIU students looking to enter into missions, consider coming to Japan? Like, what is like the work to be done, and why do you think that people should maybe consider going to where you're at or elsewhere in the country?
Yeah. So Japan is considered, at least from when I checked last time, it was considered the world's second largest unreached people group. And there's maybe less than 1% Christian, and there's 120, 30 million people, something around there. So there's so many people not being reached. And like we said, like for our region of Japan, with over a million people, we're the only two full-time missionaries. There are a few tent makers, like people being English teachers who are doing ministry on their free time, but it's kind of limited what they can do because work takes up a lot of time here in Japan. So we really need more full-time missionaries. And there's this organization for all the evangelical missionaries in Japan. They make a list every year about like a directory for different missionaries. And they have all the different parts of Japan, prefectures, which is kind of like state in America, maybe. And there's several prefectures that doesn't have any listed evangelical full-time missionaries. So I really like hope and pray that there could be more people trying to reach out, because these are places where no one that we know about are actually doing ministry and trying to reach out to these people.
David, just a quick question. Is it fairly easy to get into Japan as a missionary?
Yes, it is. You might know more about the visa application because you work more on it.
Yeah, there's actually a religious visa that you can do on religious visas, which sounds crazy for a country that is only less than 1% Christian, but it is open to all religions, I guess. But just through our organization, Norwegian Lutheran Missions, they are our, I guess, sponsor and guarantor. And then you just apply for your visa, and you can apply for 3 years, 5 years, and renew. And it seems to be pretty,
And it's
good opportunities.
There's basically no persecution in Japan for missionaries. I think there would be way more persecution in America or in Norway. Like people are really open, but the hard thing is actually for them to commit, and maybe they will meet some persecution, maybe from their family, not physical, but there will be some persecution for the local Christians or people who want to become Christians. But for some of them, but many of them are really positive. And if I say I'm a Christian to someone, they usually have a very positive response. If I say that in Europe or in America, usually a lot of people are kind of like, get kind of awkward, but I've not really experienced that here.
Well, thank you guys for sharing all that you have so far. One final question that we have is, how can we be praying for you guys, and how can we be praying for Japan?
I think one of the big ones for both of us is the language studies. Like, I'm technically done with my language studies, but I still have a lot to learn. And Caroline is currently doing her language studies. So it's really hard to really get fluent in this language. We also would be good if you can pray for more missionaries to Japan and especially also to our region, because we're really noticing it when this other missionary is going to leave. We're going to be just us. But we have other, like, we have a church we work with, and so there are some other Christians, but missionaries, we're the only ones. And also that we can make the right contacts here in the city we live in. Because right now we have contacts in our neighbor city, but it's close, but not close at the same time. So especially because of COVID, it's harder to make friends now because people are more skeptical. And yeah, things are a little different, even though our region hasn't been hit that hard, so we can do things pretty normally. And also that God can continue to call on Japanese people. So I think that's the main things. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. I think that's all that we have for you guys. We would like to pray for you and pray with you before you all leave. So I can lead us in that.
Sure.
Lord, we thank you for the promises throughout Scripture and especially Revelation that I'm thinking of right now, where you promise that people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation will glorify your name throughout heaven and earth. And we thank you, Lord, for your great love, which extends far beyond the Jews and has gone out into all the earth. And that gospel is not for us only, but is for those that have not heard yet, including the Japanese. Lord, there are so many. As David said, there are over 100 million Japanese do not know the gospel at all, do not accept it, have never even heard it. Lord, I pray that you, even as you're ripening the harvest, even as we're thankful to hear of these young Japanese who are spontaneously being drawn to you through scripture and other means, Lord, even as the harvest is ripening in Japan, we pray that you would send harvesters, that you would raise up Christians both outside of here at CIU and the rest of the world, as well as inside of Japan, that you would raise up dedicated Christians who are willing to give up the things that the world has to offer them, and that they would go and live their lives in service of your glory. They would seek to bring the glory of your name to the lips of every Japanese person. I pray for more missionaries to go to Japan, particularly to the region that the Thorsons are serving in, as well as those other regions that have nothing, Lord. We pray for your light to go into that country. And we also pray specifically for the Thorsons, that you would guide their steps, that you would show them the people of peace in Yonago, that they would be able to build strong relationships, and that you would steward them well, and that they would also learn well the language, and not the language only, Lord, but the culture. They would learn to be able to speak to the hearts of the Japanese. And I pray, Lord, that your name would be glorified in all of this. In you we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I think, Caleb, you have a final thought for all of our students here.
Yeah. So as I said before, guys, I am planning on going to Japan after I graduate, and actually I've already been there several times and would just love to be a touch point for you guys. If any of y'all have questions or would like to pray more or kind of discuss anything that you heard today, I work in IT and would be happy to just catch me. I'll be up here for a couple minutes after chapel. And yeah, I would love to dialogue with you. So thank you all for coming and listening to us. Thank you, David and Caroline, for staying up. I don't know if you guys know, it's about 1 o'clock in the morning there for them, so they stayed up pretty late for this. Y'all are dismissed. May the Lord go with you and be in peace.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.